Your home is important. That's why GEICO helps make it easy to save on condo insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you took minimalism too far because there's only one chair in your entire condo and your only entertainment is one card. Not even a deck of cards, but a single card. And all your guests have to share one plate and one fork, but you're convinced that less stuff means more freedom. The GEICO Insurance Agency could help protect the overly minimalist broom closet you call home. Call GEICO and see how easy it is to switch and save on condo insurance.
GEICO presents, yikes, another voicemail from your roommate.
Sup, roomie? Hey, a pipe burst in the basement. It's completely flooded. Anyway, I called for someone to fix it, but in the meantime, I was thinking we could finally have that indoor pool party we've always wanted. I got some cool swan floaty things already going. Could you pick up some chips on your way home? Later.
The GEICO Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if your roommate isn't the brightest pool float in the flooded basement. Visit GEICO.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
Hello there! My name is Bartholomew J. Fancy Cat, but humans have taken to calling me Sprinkles. I am a feline of discerning taste and luxury, and I demand the very best, and I want it delivered to my door. Meowbox is a subscription service that caters to felines like myself and gives us all sorts of new treats to try, toys that entertain, and it even helps fellow animals in rescue shelters. They even personalize it for your cat's name. They still insist on calling me Sprinkles, however. What are you waiting for, human? Promo code GEEK10 and get 10% off your first subscription at meowbox.com. Now go visit meowbox.com for more information and tell them Sprinkles sent you.
Hey guys, what's going on? You're listening to, well, frankly, a very late Nerd News Network. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd. This show is brought to you by the good folks over at meowbox.com. Go back at the beginning of the show and get a promo code where you can get...
And now, a thought from GEICO Motorcycle.
It took 15 minutes to take a spirit animal quiz online.
Please be the cheetah. Please be the cheetah.
And learn your animal isn't the cheetah, but the far less appealing blobfish.
Oh, come on.
To add insult to injury, you could have used those 15 blobfish minutes to switch your motorcycle insurance to GEICO.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on motorcycle insurance.
10% off your first subscription. Totally worth it, depending on how far you go with your subscription. Either way, it's a lot of fun cat toys and some cool stuff. Also, have to thank offworlddesigns.com. They've chosen to renew their sponsorship with us. And you can see some of the cool shirts I'll be wearing from them at Con Bravo this weekend in Hamilton, which runs from Friday until Sunday at the Convention Center in Hamilton. I will be staying at the Sheraton Hotel doing a bunch of different events. I guess to kind of give you guys an idea what I'm going to be doing. On Friday night, I'm going to be playing Cards Against Humanity, the Celebrity Edition. I will be playing with Pro Jared, Andre the Black Nerd, Dr. Holocaust, and many other great celebrities. That's going to be a lot of fun. But odds are you're actually going to find me in the gaming section for most of Friday night. I should hopefully be doing some Pathfinder Society stuff there. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. As I've typically, when I go to a convention, I just kind of do the celebrity thing, hang out, do autographs, talk to fans. But this year, I'm doing both. I'm actually really looking forward to just kind of getting involved and just kind of getting in there and doing some really cool stuff. Saturday is going to be really, really busy for me. Beginning at 2 o'clock, I think, I'm going to be doing a panel with Linkara. We're going to be doing the Marvel Cinematic Universe Revisited. We're going to be talking everything from the original Iron Man all the way up to Ant-Man. Also a little bit of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter in there. And we might touch on some of the other stuff, like the Fox movies with Days of Future Past, which came out last year. And we'll probably talk about the new Fantastic Four and Deadpool and how Marvel's being represented on film. Later on that day, I'm going to be doing a panel with some of my friends from the Terrible Warriors, like Big Mike from the 404s, Cassie Chu. She'll be joining me along with Derek the Bard and Tom, he's an evil genius, White. And that's at 5:30, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah, so we're going to be doing that. That should be a lot of fun. Actually, really looking forward to doing that. And then I might be on Tom's game show. I'm not 100% sure yet There may be some problems with one of his original guests, and we're still waiting to find that out. And then on Sunday, me and Jamie from the Prototype, we're going to be talking about Ninja Turtles, and that's going to be at 1:30. And if you show up, we're going to have pizza. So come early, come often, eat all this pizza. I don't want to bring it back to my room. So yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm actually really, really looking forward to that. Now you might be asking, Mike, why the hell is the show so late? Actually, I'll be very, very honest with you. It's been hot as hell in Ontario, and I record the show in my apartment, in the studio, and I don't have air conditioning back here. So when I turn on my mixer, my two computers, and everything else, everything in this room gets really, really goddamn hot. So that's pretty much why. But enough about that. Also, we did have a bit of a personal thing, and I just want to get serious for just a minute. My in-law's mother is really sick right now, and we're just kind of waiting for the countdown clock to run down. And that's all I can really kind of say about that. So that's been kind of on my mind as well. So if you do see me randomly get sad over the next few days, because this woman was actually pretty... She was actually pretty nice to me, all things considered. We do joke about her in the family, but it's all love. But, yeah, she has cancer, and she just recently stopped treatment, and she's in the hospital right now. And, like I said, we're just kind of waiting to run out the clock. And that's really unfortunate. But her husband, actually, just to speak about that for a minute, passed away last year. And his name was Mel, and he was an awesome guy. He was actually part of the reason how I graduated college. I did my final documentary on him as he was a soldier during the Second World War. And I was the only member of the family he'd ever talk about that stuff with, I guess because I really respect the Canadian Armed Forces. And I never glorified war. I'm like, man, that's a terrible thing, but I respect what you did. So, yeah, so it's kind of sad to see how things are going to unfortunately go, but what can you do, right? That's just the way life is. But I don't mean to bring everything down. Just know that it is what it is. And let's do the show I was planning on doing on Friday before Hell's Gates opened up and we were flooded with humidity. So what are we going to be talking about on the show this week? Well, I talked about Con Bravo, and that's enough about that. I guess we should talk about that whole little thing about Pluto and New Horizons. I just want to kind of gush about that for a few minutes. We're also going to talk about Sigourney Weaver. Basically, you know what? Honestly, probably my first sci-fi crush from Aliens. We're also going to talk about Lucy Lawless and the new Xena reboot. We're also going to talk more about space, how a Russian billionaire just donated a crap ton of money to the search for extraterrestrial existence. And finally, oh, finally, kale. Tastes like shit. But what if it tasted like bacon? I know, right? Okay, so let's get the big elephant out of the room, New Horizons. So this was a space probe sent out by NASA probably about 9 or 10 years ago. And finally, it's at the edge of the solar system, and it's passed by Pluto. And over the next 16 months, it's going to be downloading data, photographs, and all sorts of other really, really, really cool stuff. So it turns out almost everything we knew about Pluto was wrong. It's geologically active. Like, its surface is really, really, really young, like less than 100 million years. It has an atmosphere, which seems to be blowing off into space. Parts of it are named after Cthulhu. Some of these mountains are 2 miles high that are on the surface. There's a distinct lack of impact craters, which is really kind of weird. And just, it's kind of nuts, the fact that we were able to see Pluto in true color now. Not as rather than just like a little pixel from a telescope. We're getting high-res images. And over the next 16 months, we'll get better ones. And this will be one of the objects that we'll be exploring the Kuiper Belt, providing that funding is given to extend the mission for another couple years as this thing goes out of the solar system. Plus, we can look at the other moons of Charon, Nix, and Hydra, which I think is kind of cool. And it turns out Pluto has five moons. There's, man, I can't find the names of them right now, which really sucks. But still, it's just, it's incredible to think that this thing, like right now, we are looking at Pluto. We have images that would essentially be the distance from New York City to Dubai. That's how close we got. That's really, really incredible. Just the fact that we can look at this thing and just looking at all the pictures of Pluto and how they've been coming in over the past week, there's this huge area of carbon monoxide. I think it's like an ice or something, and it's shaped like a heart. Or Pluto the dog, if you want to look at it in another kind of way, because once you see it, you can never unsee it. So hopefully I've ruined Pluto for you. But that's just, it's incredibly cool. And I was actually, I caught this article, and I can't remember where it was, but they were saying, would the ice on Pluto be slippery? And you might be thinking, well, of course, why ice is slippery. But it turns out science doesn't really know why ice is slippery. So because ice on Pluto is made out of carbon dioxide or something, it's a little bit different. And they're not entirely sure. And someone compared it to the ice and snow on Mars. Like, could you actually ski on Mars? And they're like, yeah, kind of, maybe, eventually. Because the ice crystals on Earth and Mars are vastly different. And to see what it would be like on Pluto is, once again, we really don't know. I mean, obviously, we're not going to send people there to go freaking skiing. But there's just so much we can learn. And the fact that this planet, like I said, is potentially geologically active, that's incredible. There could be some kind of an internal mechanism or the way that it handles heat distribution, considering how far it is out in the solar system. That's incredible. And we haven't done a flyby of the outer planets in decades. Because the last big ones were Uranus and Neptune, and then Jupiter. And I guess Cassini did Saturn. I think that was the name of the probe. I'm pretty sure. I know Galileo did Jupiter. But still, we haven't sent a probe specifically out to Pluto. So I think it's a very exciting time to be interested in space. And as I mentioned during the off the hop there, we're going to talk about some other really cool space shit in just a couple of minutes. So, I guess, now that I've kind of done gushing about science, because I'm excited, let's talk about, well, more stuff about aliens. Though these are the fictional kind. So, Sigourney Weaver, as you know, played Ellen Ripley in Alien, Aliens, Alien 3, Alien Resurrection, and she's coming back for a fifth movie, which basically retcons everything post-Aliens, I think. I don't think Alien 3 happened. So anyway, it turns out she actually hates the idea of Alien versus Predator, and she has for quite some time. So it turns out she wanted the character to be killed in Alien 3 explicitly because Fox wanted to bring Alien versus Predator to the big screen. This was all the way back in 93. So she says, well, yes, I wanted her killed because I heard that Fox was going to do Alien versus Predator, which really depressed me because I was very proud of the movies. I have nothing against building a movie on a video game, but at the time, it was, as Jim Cameron said, I think publicly, why would you want to do that? It's like making Alien meets the Wolfman. She also goes on to say, in fact, Ridley Scott was about to direct a third one until this was announced, and he dropped out because he also wanted to do an Alien sequel. I think it caused more problems than it was worth. Eventually, Scott did revisit the world by making the prequel Prometheus, and he may yet make a sequel to that. Actually, no, that wasn't... That wasn't a quote to her, that was from the article. Sorry, I missed the quotation marks. But she goes on to talk about, I'm excited about working with Neil Blomkamp. He broke the tapes of these movies when he was a kid. He watched them so much. I love the fact that Neil's fulfilling his childhood dream of what he hopes will be the Alien popcorn movie he wanted as a kid to see. I'm very excited for this. The fact that they're getting Michael Biehn back as Hicks, Ripley's coming back, I think it's going to be friggin' awesome. Like, seriously, this is going to be so hype. And they got the right guy. Neil Blomkamp, he did District 9, and he did Chappie most recently. And it's going to be good. And to speak about the Alien versus Predator thing. I remember reading the first comic and the first book, and I thought they were okay. And they kind of adapted part of it for the movie, where they gave the chick the Predator, or the Predator gave her the alien head as a shield and the tail as a spear. And I think they did something similar in the comic, like where they had, I think her name was Noriko or Machiko or something like that. I can't remember. But they tried to adapt it, and it was, I don't know. I like the idea. And I think parts of the movies got it right. I just think they went over the top goofy. It didn't take itself seriously enough. And that's so evident in AVP Requiem, which I like parts of that movie. As a whole, it's a complete piece of shit. But I like parts. I like the idea of the town being invaded, but I also don't like how super powerful these things and the Pred alien, which actually my agent's husband, David Dorman, is the guy who invented that, which I think is actually kind of badass. But still, I'm glad that we're going to get a proper Alien sequel. I could totally live without the possibility of yet another AVP, but hey, who knows? Maybe someone will get it right at some point, and maybe she'll sign off on it. Totally doubt it. Alright, so let's talk about Lucy Lawless. You know her best as Xena Warrior Princess. Well, it turns out NBC is actually developing a new Xena series, along with executive producer Sam Raimi and Robert Tappert. And it turns out Lucy Lawless is married to the guy. And she is hoping to appear in front and behind the camera as the series hopefully gets made. It turns out they actually met during the original series run, which I think is actually kind of cool. So I don't know what's going to happen. Now, they're saying right now that it's a rumor, but they say it's still in the wishful thinking phase. I don't think it would be terrible if they actually rebooted Xena. Now, I actually liked part of the series for a while. In fact, once again, had a big crush on Lucy Lawless. I don't know, there's one part during the intro where she's wearing like a hijab or something, just this veil, and you can just see her eyes, and Lucy Lawless has these incredible blue eyes. She reminded me a lot of my first semi-serious girlfriend, Michelle. I don't know if I've ever told her that. Probably. I'm married now. It doesn't matter. But still, I think that'd be kind of cool, especially considering how well shows like Viking and Game of Thrones have taken off. And I guess if they did Warrior Princess a little bit more serious, though I don't know how effective the Chakram weapon is going to be, and her making that stupid sound. God, I hope they don't do the sound. Or at least if they do it once, do it as like a gag and that's it. But still, I don't know. I think that could be cool. I kind of want to see them do Hercules too. But Kevin Sorbo is a giant asshole, so I hear. And kind of a toolbox. So, yeah, no. Alright, so we're going to talk about aliens again. And this is, I think, actually really cool. So this Russian billionaire, Yuri Milner, donated $100 million to a project called Breakthrough Initiatives. And this is supposed to span the next 10 years. And what they're going to do is part one of this project is going to be called the Breakthrough Listen. And they're going to have access to new radio telescopes. They're going to have access to the Parkes Observatory Radio Telescope in New South Wales, Australia, the National Radio Astronomy Observatory Dish in Green Bank, West Virginia, and in a couple other places, I think the Lick Observatory, using that huge dish called the Automated Planet Finder Telescope. And they're good. It's incredible the fact that they also have Professor Stephen Hawking on board with this to make this actually happen. Now, this actually got announced, I think, on Monday at the Royal Society in London. And it's kind of cool because now they're able to collect and analyze five times more of the radio spectrum and cover 10 times more of the sky than any previous effort before. And they're going to start looking, I think, in 2016, so next year, when they start to do this. Now, one of the people, Jeff Marcy, he's a planet hunter from the U.S., had said, it's possible if the Milky Way galaxy has other intelligent species that are sending spacecraft around the galaxy, maybe setting up colonies on other planets or even around other stars, they may be communicating with all those sites using lasers. Indeed, there could therefore be some kind of a galactic internet carried by laser beams crisscrossing the galaxy. We here on Earth maybe serendipitously just happen to fall in one of those laser beams. Moreover, it's possible they know about us and they're purposely shining their laser beams at us. I don't know about that, but just the fact that this project's getting funded, and I've actually been a member of SETI for years with that SETI at home. You download the program and your computer crunches data for these things, and just the amount of data that's going to be coming in is insane. And I don't know. I mean, once again, I mean, Hawking, it's funny because he's gone on record before saying, guys, if there's aliens out there, maybe we should shut the hell up. Because he used this example. He's like, hey, guys, you remember when the white men came over to North America? It didn't work out too well for the Indians. And that's something I can agree with because, well, me being Native, well, you saw how well it worked out for me. But to keep race politics out of this, the point is when a technologically superior force meets a technologically inferior one, typically one tends to get their ass kicked. You want to see a great example of this? Independence Day. I'm not saying there's going to be giant spaceships killing everything, but I'm not exactly eager to reach out and have E.T. kick my ass. But the fact that the possibility that we could find life out there, it could be intelligent, it could be friendly, and it would answer one of the greatest questions of all time, are we alone? I think it's totally worth the money. I mean, if we could just, you know, focus a little bit more on stuff like New Horizons, SETI, green energy, working on doing something about climate change and climate extremes, and a little less on royal babies, the Kardashians, and spending money on sports stadiums. Actually, I found this out this week. For the cost it was to put New Horizons in space and get to Pluto, all that money over the course of the years was one football stadium. Man, fuck football. That's all I'm saying. If we can advance the species. But I'm in the minority. I have the CFL in Canada. And I frankly don't care. Although I don't know why I watch the Grey Cup and the Super Bowl. I guess it's just sort of my attempt to be manly. I don't know. Anyway, final story this week. I mentioned kale at the beginning of this podcast, and I had the mispleasure of trying kale a few weeks ago. I would equate it to eating out the lawn. It's probably the most disgusting thing I've ever eaten in my life. It's gross, it feels weird, and no. In fact, my wife had a very unpleasant experience with kale a few weeks ago. It was kind of hilarious. Not for me, but for her. Actually, no, for me and not her. Anyway. So, obviously, it's a superfood, it's beneficial, it's a very efficient and nutritious food. However, it tastes like shit. However, it turns out there's this new strain of seaweed that was developed at researchers at the University of Hatfield's Marine Science Center that has twice the nutritional heft of kale and tastes like bacon. I'm actually going to read you part of this article just so you can kind of get the full spectrum of the story. So researcher Chris Langdon and his colleagues at OSU, aware of Dulce's nutritional value, which is a marine algae that grows wild in North America along the Atlantic and Pacific coastlines, were originally researching ways to optimize a Dulce-based superfood for abalone. The team developed various different strains of Dulce, growing it in vats of cold seawater. When they started working with a particular strain of seaweed at OSU's Food Innovation Center in Portland, things got interesting. There hasn't been a lot of interest in using Dulce in a fresh form, Langdon says on the OSU project page. But this stuff is pretty amazing. When you fry it, which I have done, it tastes like bacon, not seaweed. And it's actually a pretty strong bait, and it's actually a pretty strong bacon flavor. So it turns out these OSU researchers have since patented this new strain of Dulce, and it looks like translucent red lettuce. This stuff grows faster than the traditional stuff, and it still retains the bacon flavor with exceptional nutritional value. According to lab tests, the seaweed is packed with minerals, vitamins, and antitoxins, and contains up to 16% of protein by dry weight. Langdon now has two large tanks of bacon-flavored dulce growing outside his office, which produce 20 to 30 pounds of seaweed each week. The Marine Science Department is working with the business school to explore developing a line of specialty foods and possibly an entirely new aquaculture industry. I would eat this shit. Blair tries to force-feed me salad all the time. If it tastes like bacon, oh my god, am I there. I will lose weight because it will taste like bacon. Which, if I may, just for a moment, I tried one of those recipes this week I saw on Facebook, and it was bacon-wrapped matzo sticks. I know, fat fuck central, but hear me out. And it was, the idea was to make, to take bacon, I guess, as a base and wrap it around a cheese stick. Unbelievably, it sucked. The idea sounds awesome in concept, but no, for some reason, they all fell apart, and it was really, 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 really gross. So, I don't know if we're ever going to try or trust those recipes I see on Facebook all the time. Pinterest, you have failed me for the last time. But anyway, guys, this weekend, like I said, please come down, hang out with us at Con Bravo. Like I said, I've got, I'm going to be playing Celebrity Cards Against Humanity on Friday night and doing the Pathfinder Society, hopefully. On Saturday, I'll be doing a panel with Lankara, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'll also be doing something on role-playing with a few of the guys from Terrible Warriors. And then Sunday, Ninja Turtles with Jamie. And there's going to be pizza. Come on, you want to come out for pizza because, hey, it's awesome. So anyway, guys, hopefully I will see you there at Con Bravo. You can find out more information at conbravo.com. And until next time, guys, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd, brought to you by meowbox.com and awfuldesigns.com, saying live for your die hard. And I'll catch you guys again on Friday at Con Bravo. See you guys later.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my god, there's snot on my face! And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that, 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh god!
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
okay, I'm good, Geico.
Holy shit! Oh my gosh! Freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you, with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid.
That's not veneer, that's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Geico presents... Yikes! Another voicemail from your roommate.
Sup, roomie? Hey, a pipe burst in the basement. It's completely flooded. Anyway, I called for someone to fix it, but in the meantime, I was thinking we could finally have that indoor pool party we've always wanted. I got some cool swan floaty things already going. Could you pick up some chips on your way home? Later.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected. Like if your roommate isn't the brightest pool float in the flooded basement. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.